Governor Gretchen Whitmer has declared a state of emergency and called up the National Guard to help people in Midland County relocate. That's after water breached two dams. It's expected downtown Midland could be under as much as 9 feet of water during the day today. The governor said people should evacuate as soon as possible, and she said they should also take precautions to avoid the spread of COVID-19 as they seek shelter.
We still need thousands of people to take this action. If you have a relative or a friend somewhere else in the state that you can go and stay with, please go to their homes.
Shelters have been set up to take people who don't have someplace else to go. 150 people have been evacuated from a hospital. Dow Chemical has also been evacuated.
In central Michigan, catastrophic flooding is forcing thousands of people from their homes in an area that is one of the hardest hit by the coronavirus. The timing is terrible. Social distancing is key to preventing a further outbreak, so checking into shelters or bunking with family and friends is even more fraught than usual. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has issued a state of emergency.
What I can tell you is what you already know. You've seen from the pictures. It's devastating.
Tracy Samilton is here. Tracy, I know your line is not 100% reliable, so hopefully we can make out everything you say, but if not, I might repeat some phrases. Good to have you with us. How are things looking there right now?
Well, you know, it's hard to believe that just a couple days ago we had up to 8 inches of rain in 48 hours. It's a beautiful day today. But the water in the Tittabawassee River here in Midland is going to continue to crest. It could be parts of downtown Midland be underwater of 9 feet by 9 o'clock tonight. The big problem was not just the rain, but the fact that a dam failed. And then once it failed, a second dam was breached. And this is the home town of Dow Chemical. The floodwaters have actually started to commingle with some chemical retention ponds they have there. We don't know what's going on with that situation right now. But it's a concern. There's a lot of legacy pollution here, and it's just being swept into the water. And Governor Gretchen Whitmer has taken an aerial survey of the area, says it's just devastating what she's seeing. This is basically, she says, a 500-year flood, and it's happening right during a coronavirus epidemic.
This is going to be hard, but we are anticipating several feet of water across this area. And so while we're in the midst of a global pandemic, it's really important that to the best of our ability, we observe the best practices to keep ourselves and our families safe.
Of course, this order to evacuate comes after people had been ordered to shelter in place. So what are the challenges of an evacuation of this scale in the middle of a pandemic? Is it even possible to keep up social distancing?
Well, I went to Midland High School, which is where one of the centers where they have people who've been evacuated. I was actually pretty impressed with how they're doing with social distancing and with masks. Just about everybody had a mask on. Now, granted, some of the folks who were in a residential senior citizen center are there. So it's really, really important. I think people understood that it's really important to try to keep folks safe. So under the circumstances, they are doing the best that they can. I spoke to one of these gals, Pat Wood, and she slept at the high school last night. She said she was pretty uncomfortable sleeping on a cot. But she says the community support, the volunteers have just been reaching out and have been incredible in how they've helped her.
They sent buses and they brought us over here, but we've had really good service. In fact, we'd like to stay. And if we become homeless, this wouldn't be too bad.
So, Tracy, how long are people there expecting to be away from their homes?
You know, officials are being extremely cautious about this. They're not saying, oh, we think it'll be 3 days. Oh, we think it'll be 2 or 5. There's just such a huge amount of water here, and we don't know how long it's going to take to recede. So really, it's anybody's guess.
Tracy Samilton, thank you.
The breach has sent a surge of water into surrounding communities. It's expected downtown Midland could be under as much as 9 feet of water before the flooding starts to subside. Shelters have been set up. 150 patients have been moved from a hospital. Governor Whitmer declared the situation dire and said people need to leave the flood zone immediately.
Please, do not hesitate. Go stay with a friend or relative or get to one of these shelters now.
The governor said people should also do their best to maintain social distancing and other precautions to avoid a resurgence of COVID-19 as emergency responders try to manage two crises at the same time. I'm Rick.
The flooding in Midland caused by the two failed dams has taken a toll on homes and property. But here's a longer lasting and perhaps ultimately greater concern. Any flood of this magnitude carries contaminants and debris with it downstream. Midland is home to chemical manufacturing as well as other potentially hazardous sites. The Environment Report's Lester Graham has been looking into some of those risks, and he joins us now. Hi, Lester.
Hi there.
What kind of risks are we talking about here?
Well, there are a lot of them, but let's start with the longstanding problem along the Tittabawassee, and that's dioxin pollution. In the past, Dow's chemical complex dumped dioxin directly into the river, and then when it was discovered that dioxin was actually hazardous to public health, that became a real concern. The World Health Organization indicates dioxins are highly toxic, can cause reproductive and developmental problems, damage the immune system, interfere with hormones, and also cause cancer. Now, there was this decades-long battle between Dow, regulators in Michigan who were often sympathetic to Dow, and the U.S. EPA. We did a series clear back in 2009 about the ridiculous amount of time it took to come to an agreement, and it's still not fully implemented. This massive flood might actually undo some of that remediation. I talked to Nathan Murphy. He's the state director of the group Environment Michigan.
I fully expect that that's going to resuspend some of those contaminated sediments from the river channel and put those back into the floodplains, just like it's historically done. That was what created the floodplain dioxin levels that required cleanup, that created wildlife eating advisories. And I'm very concerned that these high waters will put more dioxin-contaminated sediment back onto those floodplains.
That original cleanup project, that stretched more than 50 miles along the Tittabawassee and Saginaw Rivers.
Man, that sounds really bad. But what does it mean for the people who actually live along the rivers?
So I think what it means is people who finally got dioxin-contaminated soil removed from their backyards in recent years, they might come home to find that their yards are contaminated once again.
Well, that's one concern for sure, but we are talking about contamination from the past. Are there sources that we think we should be thinking about right now that present-day operations might cause in this flood?
Possibly. One of the issues is stored hazardous waste and other kinds of waste. A Dow facility and a Dow Corning facility, both near the river, are listed by the U.S. EPA as, quote, significant non-compliers of the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. That's also called RCRA. It regulates how hazardous and non-hazardous waste should be handled. In a Facebook post, Dow Chemical confirmed there were floodwaters commingling with an on-site containment pond used for stormwater and brine system groundwater remediation. Now, I looked up what chemicals might be in those settling ponds. That list was 26 pages long. Our colleague Dustin Dwyer found the contingency plan that was approved by the state indicated the containment pond was to be protected against a 100-year flood. But, you know, with climate change, the state might have to reconsider its protection standards for flooding.
That's our colleague Dustin Dwyer, a reporter based out of Grand Rapids. So, Lester, you're saying we know for sure that the containment pond has been breached?
Well, Dow calls it commingled, but, you know, it's going to be an issue regardless. I mean, there are a lot of different chemicals that went in there, including solvents, tars, lead, other heavy metals, fluorine, phosgene. It just goes on and on and on. Nathan Murphy at Environment Michigan feels there are greater concerns beyond that that we don't know anything about.
If you look at our accidents waiting to happen report that we have up on our website, only New Jersey requires facilities to report everything they've got on site rather than just the waste. And what we found from just the New Jersey data is they have a lot more material that could be really hazardous pollution that's sitting on their site being stored for them to use.
When you say they, who do you mean? Any chemical manufacturer or any manufacturer?
Well, any facility that has those sorts of chemicals that could result in toxic pollution that would require some sort of reporting under RCRA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no reason to think that Michigan companies or Michigan facilities are significantly different than those in New Jersey. And that suggests there's probably a really substantial volume of potentially really scary chemicals sitting on that Dow site with water encroaching closer and closer.
Now, on a post on Facebook, Dow stated there have been no reported product releases. And I should say, we called Dow and asked for an interview, but we haven't heard back from the company.
Lester, hold on a second here. Why don't state regulators know what kind of materials or chemicals are stored at industrial sites?
Well, that's a really good question. If it's anything like why we don't know what's in fracking fluids, for example, it's because businesses say those ingredients are proprietary. They don't want competitors to know what they use to make their products. And Nathan Murphy at Environment Michigan thinks that's a real risk.
You know, we do have communities that are potentially exposed to these chemicals, and we don't know what those chemicals might be. And the regulated industry is politically powerful enough that they can continue to prevent our communities from finding out.
And the only way that's going to change is to change the laws in Michigan.
I'm guessing at that point, we're talking about consequences for companies beyond just Dow, right?
Right.
Okay. So what other kinds of businesses or industrial sites should we keep in mind for Midland and mid-Michigan?
I mean, it could be something as simple as a landscaper's business that might get flooded. There are going to be some chemicals stored there. In an email, the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy indicated it's also concerned about gas stations or other places where they store liquid and solid waste that are now underwater. It stated it'll have a better idea of any real contamination when all that water recedes, and that's going to be a few days.
Mm-hmm. Geez, Lester, if I didn't know better with all of this, I'd say you were maybe just trying to freak me out?
Yeah, you know, I'm really not. It's just these are genuine concerns, and there's another thing that we found out, and it might not be of any concern at all, but again, Dustin Dwyer looked this up, and he found that Dow has a nuclear reactor in Midland. Now, I checked it out. It's a small research TRIGA reactor, which is used at universities and commercial operations across the nation. It's really small, and they're considered very safe. But we don't know exactly where that nuclear reactor is located, other than it's in Midland someplace. So how close it is to the river, we don't know.
Lester Graham hosts the Environment Report for Michigan Radio and reports for us for environmental issues now and again. Lester, thank you very much for checking on all this for us.
Good to talk to you, April.
The city of Midland is bracing for what's potentially a 500-year flood today. Up to 8 inches of rain contributed to the failure of two dams. The water from rain-swollen lakes is now swelling the Tittabawassee River. City Manager Brad Kaye says the result could be part of Midland being under 9 feet of water.
The 1986 flood that most people remember that were here at least, and if you weren't here, you certainly heard about it, was a 100-year flood. What we're looking at is an event that is the equivalent of a 500-year flood.
10,000 Midland City residents have been evacuated along with the city's hospital. More people have been forced from their homes in other towns along the path of the river.
Downtown Midland is knee-deep in water today, and Wixom Lake is empty, just drained, as if the stopper was pulled out of the sink basin. In some ways, it was. 48 hours of heavy rains caused two dams on the Tittabawassee River to fail. 10,000 people left their homes, and at this point, no one knows when it's going to be safe to go back. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samuelson filed this story from Midland.
Shelter organizers at Midland High School are being really careful. This is where some of the oldest and frailest residents of the flooded city have been evacuated. Cots are 6 feet apart. Nearly everyone's wearing masks. Pat Wood is sitting in the gymnasium with two friends who live in the same senior citizen complex. She didn't sleep well.
I slept on that cot and I had leg cramps all night. So I just get up and walk around.
Luckily, she now has a mattress. And she's being spoiled by eager volunteers, along with donations of Starbucks coffee, food, blankets, kitty litter, you name it.
So in fact, we'd like to stay. And if we become homeless, this wouldn't be too bad.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer dropped by the school after an aerial tour of the city. Devastating, she says.
It's hard to believe that we're in the midst of a 100-year crisis, a global pandemic, and that we're also dealing with a flooding event that looks to be the worst in 500 years.
Whitmer pledged to find out why the dams failed. The first one that failed had its license revoked in 2018 after federal regulators say it was chronically non-compliant with needed upgrades. The company, Boyce Hydro, was negotiating the sale of the dam when it failed.
Because this incredible damage requires that we hold people responsible, and we are pursuing and going to pursue every line of legal recourse that we can.
There's been no public response from the operator of the dam. The city of Midland is the home of Dow Chemical. The company has a chemical plant alongside the river. It says floodwaters commingled with materials in containment ponds, but it says there were no releases and there's no threat to people or the environment. Brad Kay is Midland city manager. He says he understands. People want to head back home. Don't, he says.
This is not over. So don't let up. Don't take it easy at this point in time. Don't think we're done and that we're past the peak, because we simply are not at that point.
City officials say Midland floods a lot, but it's not accustomed to dams failing. Ann Jefferson is a hydrologist at Kent State University. She says the two dams that failed are nearly 100 years old. Moreover,
our infrastructure was designed for a past climate, and we know that climate has changed and climate is continuing to change, and that means these more intense rainfalls and wetter conditions overall are things that our infrastructure wasn't designed for.
City officials say they can't predict when the floodwaters will recede. It will be a hard homecoming for many, though, dealing with a disaster within a disaster. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton.